Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Bases Loaded. I am your host, Eric Ellefson, and on this week's episode, we'll be talking about the 2024 NBA playoffs, which started over the weekend, and previewing the 2024 NFL draft, which first round kicks off Thursday night in Detroit, and then goes throughout till Saturday, with the conclusion of round 7. That's kind of what we have on, you know, the agenda for this episode, as, you know, kind of the two big things going on right now in the sport world at the moment, being, you know, the NBA playoffs and then the draft for the NFL. You know, the NBA playoffs will have us, you know, with content for 2 months, about. So it's usually the finals are early June, and then, you know, they'll be done, you know, mid-June-ish, you know, depending on, you know, the matchup and how the games go. So they'll give us, you know, like I said, like, you know, at least 2 months of stuff. You know, and then in the NFL draft, you know, players will be picked, you know, this week, and then, you know, probably won't be doing anything crazy, you know, until we get to, like, July, with, like, OTAs and stuff like that for preseason games that start in August. So, you know, that's kind of the schedule for those at the moment. And, you know, kind of go from there, basically. So diving into NBA playoffs, like I said, started this weekend on Saturday with 4 games Saturday and then 4 games Sunday, and then there was 3 game 2s last night, and then we have another 3 game 2s tonight, and then more as the week goes on. You know, the NBA playoff schedule is pretty weird, where sometimes it'll be like a day between games, and then sometimes it'll be like 2 days between games. Usually the 2 days between games is usually when, like, there's a travel date, you know, and they're going back, or they're traveling to, you know, a different, you know, arena. So, like, you know, for game 3, like, I think some of them that played game 2s last night, their game 3 is Thursday, you know, to give some travel time and stuff like that to get to, you know, the next game, you know, location type of thing. So, like, you know, we had the Denver Nuggets and then Los Angeles Lakers in Denver, so then, and then game 3 will be in LA Thursday. So it's stuff like that. Usually if there's like 2 days between games, you know, usually some travel, you know, day built in and stuff like that. So just kind of going over the games that happened Saturday. We had, or the games were Cleveland Cavaliers, Orlando Magic. That's the 4-5 matchup in the East. We had the Minnesota Timberwolves, Phoenix Suns. That's a 3-6 matchup in the West. Knicks, New York Knicks and Philadelphia 76ers. That's a 2-7 matchup in the East. And then we had the Nuggets, Lakers, which is the 2-7 in the West. We had the Cavs, Timberwolves, Knicks, and Nuggets all winning game 1. All the home teams all in pretty, you know, you know, easy fashion. The Timberwolves and Cavaliers winning by double digits. Oh, the Nuggets won is double digits as well. And then the Nuggets won by 7, 111 to 104. But, like, having watched those games, I mean, the Nuggets, you know, the score is a little bit closer, you know, if you didn't watch it, but, like, you know, the score was a little bit, you know, not telling the full story. as to what was really happening. So, you know. And, like, yeah, Cavs, Timberwolves, like, pretty, you know, not competitive game one. You know, the home team taking care of business, as you know, you kind of need to in playoff games, you know, win on the road, set the tone for the series, and get that win. I mean, ideally, you want to be up 2-0 going when, you know, they travel to the other team's arena, you know, for them having their home games. But, you know, at the very, very least, if you didn't split those first two games at home, you're at least, you know, in good position, you know. I mean, especially if you're the away team, if you can win one on the road on those first two games, you know, really, you know, helps you out for the further on in the series to, like, you know, not go home with a 2-0 deficit. So on Sunday we had the Heat, Miami Heat, Boston Celtics, that's the 1-8 matchup in the East. Los Angeles Clippers, Dallas Mavericks, that's the 4-5 in the West. Milwaukee Bucks, Indiana Pacers, that's the 3-6 in the East. And then the Oklahoma City Thunder, New Orleans Pelicans is the 1-8 in the West matchup. So we had, again, all the home teams winning. Again, most of them were not competitive, really, except for the last game, which we'll get into. We had Celtics beating the Heat 114-94. Clippers beating the Mavericks 109-97. Bucks beating the Pacers 109-94. And then the closest game out of all the game ones, the Thunder beating the Pelicans 94-92. Kind of came back. I think they were down like a couple points, like maybe 4 or something. Or 5. Like they weren't down a whole lot going into that, you know, last couple of minutes, but they were able to, like, you know, go in and kind of finish that game off and, you know, win that always much needed game one on the, you know, on your home court. And you're the number one seed in the conference, so you know, the other two top seeds in the West, you know, won their games. And the Thunder, you know, finished with the number one seed in the conference. I'm guessing because they had, looks like because of the, well, they tied with Denver, same record as 57-25, had the same home record, same away record. I'm guessing the tiebreaker was probably the conference record, as the Thunder were 36-16, and then the Nuggets were 33-19. So I'm guessing the tiebreaker being the conference record. So that was, you know, the best game of the weekend of all the game ones. You know, it was pretty competitive to the end. I think it was tied at like halftime, actually, I believe. But let's see. Yeah. I mean, it was tied after the first quarter, too. Yeah, tied. It would be, let's see, 43-43 at halftime, yeah. Then the Thunder had a 6-point lead going into the fourth. And, you know, that's how, you know, game one ended. Like I said, yeah, that was a pretty good game. You know, that was the best game one competitive-wise, which is always kind of what you hope for come, you know, playoff time, you know, in any sport, not just basketball. Especially within basketball and, you know, hockey, baseball, soccer, where it's like, you know, best of, you know, so-and-so game series, and not like, you know, a one game, you know, winner go home, like with football. So, you know, it makes it, you know, we're like, yeah, I mean, you can lose game one and, like, you know, not be out of it. But, like, you know, if you get down 2-0, then you're really digging yourself a hole. So, you know, to lose that game on the, you know, the game one at home is even, like, you know, not the best, you know, way to start the season as well, or the playoff run as well. And then last night we had 3 game 2s, like I said. The Cavaliers beat the Magic 96-86. They take a 2-0 lead. The Knicks came roaring back in, like, the final, it was like 30 seconds or something like that, down by 5. Got, like, a 3 in the corner. I think it was Jalen Brunson. It bounced, you know, just right. You know, the 76ers in playoff games with, you know, bouncing and shots and stuff like that has never gone their way. As of the Game 7 Kawhi Leonard buzzer beater that they lost, was that 5 years ago, I think? And then they had a couple chances to, you know, get the offensive rebound. Well, they inbounded the ball after that 3 by Brunson. Matsey got the ball, kind of lost it, you know, recovered the ball, and slip, trip, whatever happened, fell down, tried to call timeout. I think Embiid was trying to call timeout as well. Another player, Sixers player, was also trying to call timeout. They didn't get it. He tries to, like, you know, pass it to a teammate on the ground. It gets stolen. And then they shoot it. Well, they shoot the 3. You know, they miss. The Sixers had opportunities to, you know, get that defensive rebound. Didn't quite box out the best. Havenstein got it, passed it out, and passed it to Dante DiVincenzo, who hit the 3. You know, then the Sixers go down. I mean, they're only down by 1 at that point. They inbound it. Tyrese Maxey goes, like, full steam. You know, down to the hoop, or to the basket. Misses. They get the rebound. Or the Nets get the rebound. They have the foul. Makes the two free throws. And then Tyrese Maxey, who I thought was going to shoot the 3, you know, to try and tie the game and send it to overtime, he passes it to Embiid with, like, about a second left, who then has to, like, you know, Hail Mary it, you know, shoot it up in the air and just hope for something to go in. Almost went in, but it didn't. And then, you know, the Knicks come back from 5 points within, like, the final 30 seconds, and they win game 2. 104-101. Take a 2-0 lead going into game 3 in Philadelphia. And then the late game, the Nuggets winning 101-99 on a buzzer beater by Jamal Murray. I mean, that was also a pretty good game as well. Let's see. The Lakers had 4, let's say, a 15-point lead at halftime. And then the Nuggets came back in quarter 3, outscoring the Lakers by 5, and then outscored them by 12 in the fourth quarter. But yeah, I mean, needed a buzzer beater by Jamal Murray. Was kind of being closely defended by Anthony Davis, got it up, and, you know, nothing but net. And, you know, this is kind of like, you know, last year with the Nuggets run, like, you know, having Jamal Murray, you know, on this roster and, you know, healthy in time for playoff helps a whole lot, you know, for what they're trying to do, you know, and repeat. Well, last year, you know, trying to win a title, and then this year repeat as NBA champs. Whereas, like, you know, some previous postseasons, like, he was injured, you know, so kind of having Jokic doing pretty much everything humanly possible that he could do to try and, you know, get it, you know, a deep playoff run for them, but, you know, having Murray back definitely helps. Especially having a point guard like that, you know, makes it a little bit easier, you know, control the game, you know, call plays and kind of, read the defenses and kind of get your teammates in position, you know, not only that the coach wants, but, like, you know, to run your play and kind of go from there. And then now, so pretty much every playoff series, well, the playoff series that have played a game two, you know, they were both 2-0 series leads going, you know, to, you know, the other team's, you know, arena for their home games of the series. Tonight we have three more games, twos, on, like, the national televised on TNT. We have Timberwolves and Suns at 6:30, and then the Clippers Mavs at 9:00. And then, you know, if you have NBA TV, that's the Bucks Pacers game 2 at 7:30. Then tomorrow we have just two game 2s. The last of the game 2s, Celtics Heat, and then Thunder Clippers, starting a half an hour early. Both also on TNT, with the Celtics Heat at 6:00 and then Thunder Pelicans at 8:30. I suppose, like, the usual 6:30, 9:00 start times that they do for most. So, you know, that's kind of where we stand at going in, having, you know, played all the games we have so far. I mean, the Knicks and the Nuggets, I would say, are pretty lucky to have those 2-0 lead, series leads as they are. Just when they, you know, probably should have lost. I mean, the Sixers pretty much had that game in the bag, you know, up until they didn't. You know, the Lakers had a very good chance, you know, especially coming out of halftime with, like, a 15-point lead, you know, to take a game, you know, on the road and go back to LA at least tied in the series. So, you know, like, some of these I kind of expect, I'm hoping for a good series, but, like, you know, some of these is going to kind of depend, like, you know, if those for game threes and they still, you know, Cavs, Knicks, and Nuggets all win, it might be pretty much series over for them, for their opponents, as, you know, trying to come back 3-0 in a playoff series is not, I don't think it hasn't happened. You know, there's been a couple of times where, like, they came back to force a game 7 before ultimately losing. So, you know, that's kind of how it goes. And then, you know, we'll see where we stand next time. Next week, you know, we'll have all game fours at least completed. You know, there's 4 game fives scheduled for next Tuesday, if necessary, you know. So we'll kind of have to see how playoff games, you know, play out from here, or, like, you know, from tonight until next Tuesday or next Monday. To see, like, you know, if we even have any game 5 next Tuesday night or something like that. You know, if we have any, like, you know, competitive series at all. You know, ideally I hope so, because it's, like, you know, makes it a little bit more fun to both watch and, you know, cover on the, you know, this podcast. As opposed to being like, yeah, well, you know, there's, like, 8 first round series, and, like, you know, sets of them were 4 game sweeps. So it kind of makes it, like, you know, not the most, you know, exciting to talk about on here and to watch as well. It kind of takes you out of the game, you know, in the series of, like, you know, it's pretty much over, you know, 3 game, you know, series lead. Like, the odds, I mean, even if, like, they win, you know, 1 of 2 games to make it 3 games to 2, I mean, Like, they just got to win one of the next four games. We're like, they have to win four in a row, you know, to move on. So the odds, you know, not in the favor of that. And, you know, so, I mean, we had, like, you know, more competitive game twos last night than game ones. You know, hopefully that's a step, you know, in the right direction for some competitive game twos tonight as well. And, you know, we'll, you know, keep talking NBA playoffs next week and kind of see what happens. If we have any game fives, if there's any series that are over, you know, we'll recap them. If we do have any game fives or, you know, stuff like that, you know, to discuss for that Tuesday night, or next Tuesday night, then, you know, we'll do that as well. So that'll be that for NBA playoffs. And then, yeah, transitioning to the NFL draft, like I said at the beginning, round one is Thursday night, and then rounds two and three are Friday, and then rounds four through seven are, I believe, Saturday afternoon. I think they start at like noon or one, and then go from there. So that's kind of how it goes. You know, the draft is pretty, I mean, you know, we've had the draft order set since, like, you know, after the Super Bowl, you know, finishing up where those final playoff teams, you know, will pick in the order. So, I mean, pretty much everyone, I think there's only two teams that don't have a first-round pick. I think it's the Carolina Panthers and then Houston Texans. As with, like, you know, trades they've done last year. So you kind of just go through the order, you know, kind of preview, do a little mock draft for stuff like that. You know, some of these picks are going to be a little bit easier, you know, to predict than others. You know, we'll definitely probably have some, you know, trades happening throughout the night, especially first round. As well as, like, you know, the rest of the draft as well. But, you know, most trades are probably going to happen, like, you know, within rounds one to three. Especially if there's, like, you know, players that they like later in those rounds two and three that they like and, you know, want to trade up so that, you know, they make sure that they can draft to their teams. So, you know, round one, Chicago Bears are picking first. As this is their compensation from trading last year's number one overall pick to the Carolina Panthers. The Bears got, like, a first-round pick last year, and then they got this pick from Carolina this year, which turned into the number one pick overall, as the Panthers had the worst record in the NFL. So, I mean, this pick is pretty easy. You know, they're going to go quarterback. You know, having traded Justin Fields to the Steelers, you know, this is pretty much set in stone that they're going to be drafting Caleb Williams, quarterback of USC, 2022 Heisman winner. You know, his Heisman season in 2022 season, obviously. This past year, you know, still a pretty good year. Had to do a little bit more, you know, passing, kind of airing it out than he probably would have liked. Considering USC's defense was not very good. You know, so, you know, having to, like, you know, play from behind and get into offensive shootouts. But, you know, what the Bears have done, I mean, you know, they traded for Keenan Allen from the Chargers, then gave up a fourth round pick, you know, not having to do much, you know, they have DJ Moore, who, you know, had a good season last year in his first season with the Bears, who they got from the Panthers in that trade from last year as well. You know, Cole Kmet, tight end, is pretty solid, you know, pretty solidly underrated offensive line. You know, they did sign, I think it was DeAndre Swift for running back, you know. So, like, you know, they definitely kind of supported, put more pieces in place, you know, for him to succeed kind of right out of the gate. you know, than they did with Justin Fields. So, you know, that's pretty much set in stone. You know, the Bears will be on the clock, you know, officially, you know, Thursday night, but it's pretty much, you know, after them trading Justin Fields, like, this has pretty much been set in stone what they're going to do. Number two is the Washington Commanders, and then three is the New England Patriots. I mean, they're both probably going to take quarterbacks. You know, it can depend. You know, with the Patriots, you know, if they take quarterback, you know, they'll probably take, you know, the other top three quarterback that the Commanders don't pick. I mean, the Commanders, you know, it's going to come down to a Jaden Daniels, you know, the reigning Heisman Award winning quarterback from LSU, or Drake May, quarterback from North Carolina. You know, it's pretty much going to depend on personal preference there. Like, Daniels is more of a mobile quarterback than May. May is your pretty standard, like, you know, pocket passer quarterback. Has some mobility, but not, you know, doesn't use it as much as Daniels. So that's, you know, pretty much picks two and three are going to depend on, you know, who the trainers view as the second best quarterback, and then, you know, Patriots pretty much pitching whoever they don't pick. Number four, the Arizona Cardinals, you know, they'll probably, it seems like, you know, they're going to pick either a wide receiver, most likely Marvin Harrison Jr. From Ohio State, if they do keep that pick, or otherwise, you know, they might, you know, trade that pick to maybe another team. It seems, you know, most likely if they do trade that, you know, it'll be to, like, you know, the Minnesota Vikings or something like that, you know, trying to get that fourth quarterback off the board, and most likely J.J. McCarthy from the defending national champion Michigan Wolverines. So, you know, that's trying to be discussed. I mean, like, the Vikings got another first-round pick in this year's draft. So it's kind of the sense is, like, you know, they're going to probably trade up to get that fourth quarterback, because, like, you know, Kirk Cousins signed with the Atlanta Falcons in free agency, so they don't really have a quarterback, you know, at the moment, that, you know, be a solid starter on the roster. So, you know, they're going to trade up probably with the Cardinals to hit that number four, or maybe, you know, if they feel that they can get, like, a McCarthy at 11, keep that those two first-round picks and build. You know, it'll be kind of up to see. Number five is the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, new coach Jim Harbaugh, you know, kind of depends on what he wants to kind of take this team going forward. I mean, they don't have, like, really any wide receivers on the roster. As you know, they traded Keenan Allen, they cut Mike Williams. They had Quentin Johnson, who they drafted in the first round last year, who didn't really, you know, perform as they would have liked to in year one. So, you know, maybe they do draft a second receiver. Maybe, you know, they look to build, like, you know, around Justin Herbert, you know, maybe with an offensive line, man, something like that. It's 10, maybe the Nets pick. Number six is the New York Giants. You know, it seems like, you know, they could go quarterback. I don't know if they will. You know, they signed Daniel Jones prior to last season to a contract extension. So, you know, maybe they, and he did get injured, season-ending injury last year as well. So, you know, they could feel the need to, like, you know, draft a receiver and kind of help, you know, him as much as possible, try and have, like, you know, a true number one receiver to throw to, and see if, you know, he can be the quarterback for the Giants. Number seven, Tennessee Titans, they're probably going to take an offensive lineman. Again, it seems like with, like, round with the Bears for the first overall pick, you know, it seems like they're going to take an offensive lineman. You know, it seems like most likely Joel Alt, the tackle from Notre Dame, you know, kind of help, you know, year two quarterback Will Lewis. You know, they've made some also pretty signings, you know, on both sides of the ball during the offseason, you know, try and, you know, put themselves into the division that's, you know, probably going to be one of the more, you know, competitive as we see it this year. Number 8, the Atlanta Falcons, you know, this is probably be the first defensive player, you know, whether they want, you know, maybe probably like an edge rusher, like Dallas Turner of, you know, the Alabama, or maybe they go surprise and take like an interior lineman, like D lineman, who knows, but it seems like that's probably what they're going to do. You know, they signed Kirk Cousins in free agency to be their quarterback. You know, they have pretty good, you know, position players, skill players on offense, you know, tight end, receiver, running back. So, you know, trying to help out that defense seems like the pick. The Bears at number 9 with their second first-round pick. You know, this could be another defensive player as well. Maybe another, like, wide receiver. Because, like, Keenan Allen's only, like, has one, I think, on a rental. I think he's a free agent after this season. So to kind of bring another young receiver on a rookie contract to help Caleb Williams could definitely help. Maybe they try and trade back to later in the first round, because I don't think they only have 4 total picks in this draft. They don't have a second-round pick. So, like, you know, maybe trade back, trade down a couple slots, you know, maybe pick up around 2 pick, you know, maybe, like, you know, another, maybe like around a 6th-round pick, something like that, 5th-round pick, you know, to kind of get some more draft capital build around on the team, seems most likely. New York Jets, probably to be, like, a lineman, to try, you know, keep Aaron Rodgers upright, coming back from injury, or maybe they go get another, like, you know, offensive weapon. You know, seeing maybe like Brock Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, maybe a receiver, you know, something like that. Number 11 is the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, this is obviously if they don't trade up. You know, if they can stay put and get J.J. McCarthy, that's probably what they'll do. If they feel that they have to trade up to get him, they're going to probably trade up into the top 5, most likely 4 or 5. You know, one of those Cardinals or Chargers, you know, that are not in need of a quarterback this year. You know, number 12, Denver Broncos. I mean, they could take a quarterback, but if, like, you know, the top 4 quarterbacks are off the board, I don't see that happen unless they really like, you know, Bo Nix from Oregon or Michael Penix Jr. from Washington. I don't really see that. There's such a, you know, gap in, like, you know, from the top 3 quarterbacks to number 4 with McCarthy, and then to those, you know, 2 I just named as well, that I don't really see it happening. So they might, Broncos might take the best available. 13, the Raiders. 14, the Saints. You know, I'm not really sure. Could be kind of anything, you know, to kind of help out those teams. I mean, it could be best, you know, player available as they see it. Maybe they want to go on all, maybe on, you know, one of the, you know, offensive or defensive line, something like that, to be a very option. 15 is the Colts. You know, they have a need, like, you know, pretty much receiver and cornerback, so they could take the first cornerback, you know, the draft, to kind of help a young secondary. You know, they could get another receiver to kind of help quarterback Anthony Richardson's, you know, development in year 2. Kind of depends, you know, who, you know, that can go a bunch of different ways. 16, pitch 16 through 20, we have the Seahawks, Jaguars, Bengals, Rams, Steelers. I think, like, the Seahawks, probably the Steelers are going to take, you know, maybe an, Steelers, they'll probably take an O-lineman. They might take, you know, either a center or someone that could play center or guard. They cut their, like, longtime center in the offseason, so there's definitely a position spot available for center on the roster. Seahawks, you know, they could build an, you know, around the offensive line, or they did hire, you know, a new coach. Mike McDaniel, who was, I think, the defensive coordinator with the Baltimore Ravens. So, you know, a defensive mind coach might want to try and get a defensive player to help, you know, on that side of the ball and kind of, like, you know, build the team in his vision that way. Jaguars and Bengals at 17 and 18. Jacksonville, I think, will probably draft a receiver. You know, they didn't re-sign Calvin Ridley. He signed with, I think, the Tennessee Titans in the offseason. So trying to get, you know, a receiver for Trevor Lawrence to throw to seems like the most likely option. The Bengals, I kind of see O-linemen. You know, they keep investing in the O-line to protect Joe Burrow. So that kind of seems the most, you know, logical at this point and what they would do from what I see it. Pitts 21-25. We have the Dolphins, Eagles, the Vikings again, the Cowboys, and the Packers. Dolphins, I think, will take a most likely a defensive player, probably, you know, a pass rusher at some point. Their two top, you know, two of their top pass rushers, Jalen Phillips and then Bradley Chubb, are coming off like season ending injuries last year. I think one was an ACL, MCL, something around that. So kind of help draft some pass rush help to help out in that department until they come back from injury. And then, you know, once they do, we're like, oh, this pitch can provide some, like, you know, good pass rush depth for the team. I mean, it's pretty set, you know, offensively, on the offensive side of the ball, with quarterback and receivers and stuff like that. Running back, you know, I don't see him taking another tight end going around one. That was a really weird sound. I don't know what I did. But moving on from that, 22 is the Eagles. They'll probably take, you know, they can take maybe, you know, an interior O-lineman to try and replace retired Jason Kelce. Maybe take, let's see, like a cornerback. As their top two cornerbacks are pretty up there in age at the moment, in their early 30s, so trying to get younger in that side of the ball, as they gave quite a bit of, like, you know, passing yards throughout last season. Kind of help out there. Pick number 23, as of now, is, you know, still the Minnesota Vikings, their second first-round pick. You know, I could probably see that being more on defense, you know. You know, I mean, offensive, like, you know, if you can get your quarterback, then you'll have your quarterback. You'll have, you know, two good receivers, a good tight end, running back. I mean, I don't expect a running back to be drafted in round one. That's probably more until, like, round two at least this year. And so, I mean, Vikings might take, like, the best player available, maybe defensive-wise, and kind of build that side of the ball. Cowboys, I think, you know, could be an O-lineman. They lost Tyler Bialish in free agency to the Commanders. Left tackle, I think, Tyron Smith hasn't played a whole lot. They might have been injured last year type of thing, so, like, try and, you know, invest in that offensive line. That's kind of been one of their strong points for the past, you know, decade on, you know, and, you know, or maybe they go receiver, kind of get another number two receiver to go with CeeDee Lamb, something like that. Number 25 is the Packers. I can see either an offensive lineman, like a tackle, to replace David Bakhtiari, or maybe, like, a cornerback, secondary help, something like that is probably where that's going to go. 26 through 30 is the Buccaneers, Cardinals, Bills, Lions, Ravens. Buccaneers, you know, kind of a wild card. You know, they did re-sign Baker Mayfield at quarterback, Mike Evans at wide receiver. So, you know, in those positions, you know, they're pretty set. You know, could be best player available, maybe a defensive player, edge rush, something like that. That's kind of a mystery. I don't know. We'll have to see what they do come draft night. 27 the Cardinals. You know, if they end up trading that number 4 overall pick, I mean, they might, this could be either, and like, they, you know, they get like another first round pick earlier in the draft, you know, they might do, you know, maybe like a receiver with their first round pick if they get, like, if they do make a trade, and then this pick at 27 could be like, you know, defensive player, something like that, kind of go one pick be on the offensive side of the ball, the second pick defensive side of the ball, that kind of thing. Bills probably gonna draft a receiver. You know, they trade Stephon Diggs to the Texans. You know, Josh Allen needs someone to throw to at receiver. So that's pretty much easy. The Lions, you know, Lions and Ravens can kind of be, you know, bunch of different things that can go either ways. You know, O-line, you know, defensive player, maybe like cornerback or edge rush, something like that. And I think like the Lions might do a little bit more of a cornerback secondary than the Ravens. Something like that. You know, who knows? I mean, the Niners at 49ers at 31. That could be, I mean, they're a pretty complete roster. I mean, they did make it to the Super Bowl, you know, last year. So, you know, it could kind of be best player available. Maybe Kyle Shanahan and, like, the front office have a player they like, so they maybe trade up or something like that if they feel the need. But, like, yeah, I mean, a pretty complete roster, as with, you know, pick number 32, the two-time defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Like, you know, you might have a position of need or two, but, like, you know, overall, you can kind of take a little bit of a risk who you think, you know, with those late first-round picks, because, like, you know, like, all these late first-round picks are playoff contenders, you know, made the playoffs last year, so, like, you know, their rosters are pretty set. You know, they might have some a position or two, maybe three, of need, so kind of how they want to address that, you know, is kind of where I would say they go. Niners, you know, at that. The Chiefs, you know, could be a wide receiver, especially now given, like, the Rashid Rice situation. I mean, they're definitely in talks to be a receiver before that happened, or they might do, like, an O-line, or, you know, maybe a cornerback. You know, they did trade Ladarius Sneed, something like that. So, you know, go different ways. I mean, being a Patrick Mahomes fan, Chiefs fan, you know, I'd probably take the receiver to the, you know, Rashid Rice will probably get suspended, like, you know, maybe 4-6 games, something like that. So it kind of helps someone along the line. I mean, they could trade up for a receiver, you know, maybe maybe to, like, a pick 24 or 22, something like that, with, like, the Cowboys at 24, Eagles at 22, something like that. They really liked someone. I think they only have 7 total picks. I mean, preferably I'd kind of just stay put. Not have to trade, let you know, your round 2 pick or round 3 pick of this year to trade up, you know. Just kind of draft whoever falls in your place at that point, because, like, receiver and O-lineman this year in this class are pretty loaded, so, like, you can kind of have whoever falls into you round 1. And then, you know, maybe round 2 draft, you know, whichever position you didn't draft in the round 1. And then round 3, you know, we can get a cornerback place, maybe round 4 or 5, try and get a tight end to kind of help, you know, kind of, you know, see what's coming in the future with Travis Kelce, maybe having, you know, maybe at most 2, possibly 3 years left playing. I mean, he'd probably play a little bit longer than his brother, granted that, like, his brother was a center. So, you know, that's kind of round 1 as I see it, with, like, you know, some positions they could draft. kind of like, you know, outside of some top five pits, like names, it could be who knows what could happen. Like, I didn't do really any trade situations. Like, I mean, the most likely to trade up is probably, you know, the Vikings, using that can package their two first round picks in this year's draft to move up. So that's kind of what we'll see at that point. Who knows, you know, but yeah, that's kind of what I see round one as of now. Kind of like, you know, positions that could draft, stuff like that. You know, next week, you know, we'll do an NFL draft recap. See how it goes. So yeah, that's kind of wraps up this episode for this week. You know, like I said, next week, you know, will be more NBA playoff, you know, recap and discussion, NFL draft recap, maybe some baseball. This will be about a month into the season. So yeah, that kind of wraps up this week's episode. So thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time. Peace.